Welcome to MedTech Science to Society, the podcast that explores the intersection of science and society. This podcast series is brought to you by UCT MedTech in collaboration with the UCT Biomedical Engineering Research Center, where cutting-edge medical technology meets compassionate healthcare. Join us as we dive deep into the latest breakthroughs and innovations and how they're shaping the world we live in. Thanks for clicking play.
Hi, and welcome to today's episode of MedTech Science to Society. In this episode, we have the pleasure of chatting with Jonathan Noili, PhD candidate in biomedical engineering at UCT and a member of UCT MedTech. Jonathan joins me today to chat about academic diligence, to share some effective strategies for juggling time and managing academia. Jonathan, or as we like to call you, John T, thanks for taking time out of your research to join me and to get chatting.
Oh, only a pleasure. It's great to be here.
Tell me, before we dive into your process within academia, what are you currently busy with?
So I'm busy with my PhD in biomedical engineering here at UCT MedTech. My day-to-day research involves design and development of my device that I'm working on and interacting with the various supervisors and collaborators that I have on my research project.
What is that research project? Let's delve straight into that PhD.
Okay, so I'm first actually going to take a step back. In the 30s and 40s, there was a therapy that was used to treat infections when patients had severe infections that would affect the whole body in the bloodstream and so forth. And back then, antibiotics hadn't been discovered yet. So there was a therapy that was developed to treat infections by removing the blood from the body and reinfusing it back into the body after exposing it to some ultraviolet light. And they found great success with this therapy back in the 30s and 40s. Then the antibiotics were discovered. This therapy was also used to treat polio, but the polio vaccine was also developed. So this therapy fell out of use, essentially. You know, it's much easier to give a patient some pills or give them a vaccine than to get them in for an invasive procedure. So yeah, this therapy fell out of use. But these days, we have problems in hospitals with multi-drug resistant infections. And the first line of treatment, antibiotics for these infections, are ineffective, essentially, at treating the root cause of these infections. So I'm looking back at that historic therapy to try to redevelop it, to develop a novel device to implement this therapy in the modern day and age.
How did you come across this topic? I mean, I know that you were upgraded from a master's to a PhD. Did you have a clinician approach you with this problem, or, you know, how did you come about it?
Yes, we seem to be heading a while back every time you ask me a question now, but exactly that. I started this project as my master's project. And before that, even this was my project for the medical device design course as part of the master's program here at UCT MedTech. And the great thing about that program is that we get partnered with clinicians. The problem that we try to solve in our medical device design course comes from a clinician. They are the ones that come to us with the real world problem, the real world clinical need that they are experiencing out there on the front lines in their day-to-day lives that we try to solve a problem for. So my clinician and our supervisor on my project is Prof. Vernon Lowe. He's head of clinical hematology at Rutgers Hospital. And he was the one that brought this project through to us. He's been interested in this project for many, many years and has been essentially waiting for someone to really take it forward. And so he reached out to Sadesh, and I selected the project for my medical device design course. And from there, took it into my master's, blew up into a PhD, and now here I am working on it still.
And where would you say in that whole process you are currently? I know that that's a terrible question to ask someone busy with their PhD, but where are you within that entire process?
So I would say I am finished the very long preparatory stages. I seem to always choose the big open-ended problems. So there's been lots of groundwork that I've had to do for my research. Because I'm working on, you know, the forefront of antibiotic resistance, the bacteria I'm working with are multi-drug resistant. So for that, I need to be working in a biosafety 2 laboratory. That's where my other supervisor, Dr. Lynthia Paul, comes in medical microbiology. So I do most of my day-to-day experiments and things there. So, you know, there's been many hurdles to jump over just being able to do my experiments and my work with all that it entails, all the various elements that I've built towards coming
there. It's incredibly complex. I mean, you could have, I guess, chosen a problem that had a solution in the form of a device, and then, you know, it would have been a little bit simpler and a little bit more clear cut, but you find yourselves dealing with many different facets and also kind of putting your life in danger every time you enter the lab, right?
Yeah, no, definitely something we have to, I was very much trained before I got to work by myself in the Biosafety 2 lab. And my supervisor does remind me every time I work with some of these bacteria, you know, like, that these are the superbugs and you have to be very careful with them. So
yeah, our world does not need another pandemic.
Oh, no.
Shanti, and you do not want to be responsible.
Oh, certainly not. Luckily these ones are not nearly as infectious
as the big C,
but
definitely. Did you always envision going into a career of academia, or what did young Shanti think he was going to pursue?
I really didn't have a clear-cut goal. So one of the things I've loved about this whole department, and particularly UCT MedTech, is that once I started here, I knew this is what I wanted to do. Before that, in my undergrad, I was kind of drifting a little bit. I studied engineering because it allowed me many opportunities afterwards, but I didn't really know where I was headed until I came into the biomed program here at UCT. And I've just loved the medical device science space. But to revert back to your question, I think I had planned to do a master's and then go into industry just for the lifestyle, I guess, that affords you. But my project, I couldn't drop it, hand it in as a master's, where I would probably have passed it, but I hadn't gotten near to touching the problem that spawned that project. Mm-hmm. And so after talking to those involved in my life and my supervisors, that just it was just the right call for me to continue working on the project and upgrade it to a PhD. And where that takes me afterwards, we'll have to see after that.
Mm. Do you, I mean, looking forward slightly, do you see yourself going in and continuing in the academic route, or would you like to dabble in industry?
I would say I would be interested in kind of a hybrid mix. You know, I think the research and development side of things in academia and the access to, you know, blue skies kind of funding for the research that you want to be working on is something that academia gives you access to, you know, and especially for the medical device space, it's great to have that time and that funding to explore a novel design or a novel solution to a concept. So I think I will always have ties to academia, but I definitely think that I have a very strong drive to impact society. Mm. And particularly for medical devices, sometimes that requires, you know, actually having a company to commercialize a medical device to actually get it out there to impact people. So I definitely see me maybe having a foot in each world.
Mm, definitely. But having a foot in each world comes with diligence. And diligence is very important, especially in academia, particularly for students and early career researchers like yourself. What advice would you give to those who are struggling to stay focused and committed to their work?
Wow. I think that is the question that every researcher asks themselves along the way. I think particularly from the master's level up, I'd say, you know, you talk to any master's student or PhD student, and I think one of the commonalities is they'll tell you that keeping yourself going through the whole process is one of the biggest challenges ahead of you. I would say that, you know, you need to, introspection is a powerful tool to figure out for yourself why you aren't perhaps working as well as you are. There's a lovely graphic I recall that says why I think I'm procrastinating, and there's a big circle saying lazy. And the real reason I'm procrastinating is because I'm sad or demotivated, or something's upsetting me, or there's emotions. You know, there's lots of complex things that that we deal with on the day-to-day life. And I think managing yourself is a very, very powerful tool to do your work, really. You know, whether that is carving out some time for yourselves over the weekend. Students love to work late in the evenings and over weekends, but carving out some time for yourself is important. And finding out what you can do to really relax and recharge, whether that be exercise or a hobby of your own. Finding that, I think, is also important to keep yourself going, because at the end of the day, the research, particularly once you get to the PhD and early stage, is it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. So you need to learn to manage yourself.
It's a very long game, and there are many challenges along the way that you can't foresee. I'm a very structured, planned type of individual, and academia isn't structured nor planned, although you need to be structured and have structure. Hurdles come all the time. What are some of the challenges that you didn't see coming that have kind of, you know, come across your path and thrown you for a six, but you've kind of overcome them?
Well, there's been a multitude of those over the course of my research and my work. Yeah, I guess I'll go into one or two small things that have come up in my work have just been things like ethics approvals, approvals to be able to transport products. Blood products particularly have been a couple of the challenges that have come up for me over the course of my work. Because I'm essentially working with human blood in my research. And so the approvals to both get that and transport it requires a lot of training and approval processes that you have to follow. So like you said, there's some structure to academia, but you also have to learn to be flexible and adaptable in tackling the challenges that come up for you. And also dealing with the changes in project scope as you go along, particularly with big open-ended projects like I'm tackling. What you plan for the beginning often changes during that process, and being adaptable and flexible and having those open, honest discussions with those involved in the research, I think really help to manage those challenges that crop up along the way.
What are some of the most effective tools and strategies that you use maybe in your day-to-day to manage your time and be effective? You know, what does a day look like?
Okay, yeah. So for me, I have always used kind of prioritization as a big tool for me to tackle the vast amount that I have to do in a day. You know, often with this research, you can feel a bit swamped at times with all the various tasks that you need to complete for your research or your work. So I find the best thing for me when I'm feeling overwhelmed or I'm not sure where to start is just to itemize, get everything down on paper of what you have to do, and then figure out what's the most important thing to do first. Often for me, those are things along what I like to call the critical path. It's those most important things that you have to complete to give you insight into the next step or to be able to progress your project. You know, sometimes it's as simple as sending off an email, and so that, you know, while you're working on something else, someone else can reply to that or get that process rolling for you. So I find that's the biggest thing, starting my day by figuring out what the most important thing to do next is. And sometimes just focusing on that to the exclusion of everything else for that day, just to tick it off.
You definitely sound like you enjoy a list.
Yes.
Good list maker.
definitely. It's the way I manage to keep everything that's bouncing around my head down on paper so I can clear my head to actually focus on what I need to do.
Finally, for anyone who is looking to kind of delve into this as a career option or academia in general, do you have any parting advice?
I would say that to be in this, to be in academia particularly, and to research beyond particularly an honors program, you really need to be able to be self-driven and self-motivated to tackle the challenges that come your way. Because I think also self-ownership of your work and your research is a very important factor in keeping yourself motivated and interested in the work you do. So I think that vision of where you want to go, particularly in PhD and further in academia, that vision of what you want to solve, what you want to be working on, can really help you guide where to put your time, energy, and effort. And it's something I think, well, probably some crucial characteristics to have going into the space.
Jonty, thank you so much for chatting to me this morning and for sharing your processes with us. We look forward to watching you change the game and can't wait to see Dr. O'Ely in front of that name.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to MedTech Science to Society, the podcast that explains the convergence of science and society with biomedical engineering. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, brought to you by UCT MedTech in collaboration with the UCT Biomedical Engineering Research Center, where advanced medical technology merges with compassionate healthcare. Stay up to date with the latest innovations, discoveries, and advancements and how they impact the world around us. Find UCT MedTech on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram to stay up to date. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Thanks for clicking play.